I'm happy now to welcome back to the show Deborah Tang. She is the Executive Director of St. Elizabeth Shelter here in Santa Fe, and Jim Podesta is Director of Development there. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks for having us on.
It's always good to have you and hear what's going on. It's a wonderful shelter that you run and have been running for some time now, Deborah, and it's more than a shelter. What do you have going on at St. Elizabeth? You've got quite a lot of programs.
Yeah, we have the main shelter for men, which is on Allred Street, but then we have a women and family shelter that's called Casa Familia, and it's for single women and families. And then we also have one transitional program, two-year program for families, and that's two- and three-bedroom apartments, and then two permanent supportive housing programs, one for seniors and one for people with disabilities.
It highlights the reality that there's so many people and so many different demographics of people
right.
who are needing shelter, who do not have a proper place to live.
Right. And we actually, our goal is not to just house people, give them a place to sleep, but is it really to restore them back to wholeness and get them housed. And in that effort, we've really been looking at our programs and trying to figure out what works best. And we found with the Casa Familia, with our women and families, that it's taking a little longer. And if we just hang with people a little bit longer, invest in them with case management and support, that they do much better. And so that one time being homeless becomes just one time, and it's not a cycle where they have to keep coming back over and over again if we work a little bit longer and a little bit harder. So we've taken that model, and we've been applying it to the men's shelter. And so if people are working on their goals, if they're working towards housing, or you know, that process of getting housing or getting a job, those kinds of things that will help them stabilize, then we let them stay longer so that they can complete those goals. So if they're getting close, if we can see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, we really work with them. And prior to that, our success rate for people who moved from our shelter into housing was about 40%. And now we've just started this program of letting people stay a little bit longer as they're working towards their goals. And we actually are seeing over 50% now.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so it really is making a big difference. And that's our goal, is to not see them again. that they become successful, that they become stabilized, they find housing, and they don't become homeless in the future.
The last time you were here, I think we talked about how many people who were formerly prosperous members of the middle class, so-called middle class, are suddenly homeless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you lose a job, especially if your job didn't pay a whole heck of a lot to begin with. You don't have a little bundle of savings. And so it doesn't take very long from losing that job to not being able to sustain yourself financially.
Yeah, in our society, you lose your job, you lose your health insurance for most people. Then you get sick, and you know, what savings you have can rapidly disappear.
Right. And so these are folks who were, I mean, it seemed like a lot of them are not people who have any particular problems themselves, such as mental illness, or, I mean, there's different groups that you have, but a lot of people really don't have any particular problems except economic problems, which
right.
are far bigger than they.
Right, right. Or and it may be a skill set. So what they really need is, you know, some kind of training at the community college or someplace to get the skills that they need to be more marketable in the workplace.
What do some of the success stories look like? I mean, without revealing any confidentiality, but the kind of things that you're seeing.
We can have, like, one story I was told is we had a woman, young woman, in her early 20s who was living in Taos, and her mother, and her mother got involved with some man, and man moved in, and it was just not a good situation, I think, I'm not sure, but, you know, some, I think, drug use, things like that. And she just wanted to leave. So she left house, came down here, had no place to stay. Ended up at our Casa Familia program. And there, I mean, this is very similar to what you're talking about. No identifiable physical, mental, behavioral, alcohol, drug problems, but without a place to stay and without any resources. And we were able to, at the program, they worked with her. They helped her find a job. She got a job at Dillard's thanks to a generous community. There were a lot of clothes donated there, some which fit her. So she was outfitted, presentable enough to pass an interview situation. And from what I've told, I think the manager of Casa Familia said that Dillard's has put her in their managerial training program. You know, so because you know, so she's young and you know, presentable and success. So it's just you know, she was disoriented when she came here. So just got her stabilized, gave her the opportunity, and let her giving her the groundwork framework so she can succeed on her own.
Right.
But one thing, Mary Charlotte, interesting about this recession is how it's really changed the demographics we've been seeing. I mean, I would say now, in our program at this time, we have someone from almost newborn until up to an 80-year-old woman, you know, at Casa Familia. It's just of all sorts. And that, I don't think we had several years ago, that range of people. You know, we have a lot of, 40, 50, 60-year-old women that have just been, because of life situations, or sometimes it's family problems, like they have children of which they expend all their resources on, children in crisis, and then they bankrupt themselves, and then they end up homeless.
Yeah. You also do have disabled people with various disabilities who are homeless, presumably because of some of the challenges they're facing.
Right. And a lot of times when people come, when we initially see them, they don't realize that they've been through trauma and that they've got some real coping skills problems that they need to really work on. And so we don't provide those services. We refer to LifeLink or the Guidance Center or some of the other programs around town and try and get them into a situation where they can emotionally stabilize. And then once they're emotionally stabilized, then either they are able to work or they need disability. And so we work with them depending on where they are. So it really is an individualized kind of approach, looking at each person or each family situation and addressing that.
And the goal is, to connect them. You know, our caseworkers can connect them to available resources in the community so that once they, best case scenario, move on into housing of their own, they have these other resources that they can turn to help them maintain their housing, maintain their independence to at whatever level that may be. Their self-reliance, I guess.
Yeah, which is, of course, what we're all hoping for. I mean, it's a funny thing because nobody's really self-reliant. We're all incredibly dependent on one another and dependent on our environment and our ecosystems and all of that. But there's something about being able to take home a paycheck and pay your rent and buy your food that is incredibly important for a sense of well-being.
Right. And social capital, knowing who to call when you have a problem. So that you can get back on your feet as quickly as possible, I think is important.
And I think one of our challenges we face in this recession is it seems to have inordinately hit families, particularly younger families. And I think the last stat I saw was 37.5% of the homeless people in the country now are families, that cohort. So that's one thing. We're very fortunate that we've had that. We opened up Casa Familia in 2009 to address that situation, because I'm going to let Deborah talk about this, but the deleterious effects of homelessness on young children is been incredibly documented. So,
Well, there have been lots of bedwetting, trauma, those kinds of things, doing poorly in school.
Right.
There are a lot of side effects to not knowing where you're going to sleep at night and not being sure if mom and dad are going to be around tomorrow. And so, we really work with the families. It's a special situation for kids because it can affect their whole lives.
Yeah, very much so. It's their formative years.
Right.
Yeah, and the less time you spend homelessness. I think they've done studies too. The less time people are homeless, the far greater the chance they will not become homeless again. I mean, the majority of people are homeless for a short stretch of time. You obviously see people who are homeless for years and years and years, but that's really a smaller, much smaller percentage of the homeless population.
Yeah, and those are the people you have your stereotype about, which is the homeless Vietnam vet or something like that who's an alcoholic.
Yeah. So what they found is the shorter period of time people are homeless, the quicker they can get on their feet, the more likely they are to stay housed once they get back on their feet. And so that's our goal, is to really, take that period of time, whether it's 60 days, make that 45 days or 30 days, so that people get into housing as quickly as possible. And we're working with the city 5-year plan to end homelessness.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how that was going.
Yeah, so we presented that on Wednesday night to the city council. And in that plan, it really is about, shortening that time, which would mean that we need more housing vouchers, more support services, so that people can get stabilized quicker.
So what kind of help do you need at the shelter right now? Do you need donations of money, clothing, food, time?
Right. So every year...
All of the above.
Yeah. Every year, we get a tremendous outpouring, and it's usually between Thanksgiving and New Year's. And we really rely on that. That kind of helps us get through the next year. And, we use that money to keep the lights on, to keep housing going. But we also use it for case managers to really work with people to get them off the street and get them housed. And so it really is crucial to us to have those donations. And in the past few years, it's been kind of scary. We've been scrambling, worried about whether we're going to be able to keep the lights on and keep, people working. So... it would be really great if your listeners would help us in supporting.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas and holiday spirit, it's a really good time to make your year-end donations to all the worthy folks in your life and organizations, but this is a very important one because this is really people living on the edge where really all of us could be if things went a little bit wrong.
Right. That's true. Yeah, Mary Charlotte. The donations go really, they're really investments in human potential. I see it. 70% of our annual budget comes from philanthropic giving. We get about 25% or so, 25 to 27% from government grants, and then a little bit amount from other things. But the great majority of our donations come from individuals, and that's what keeps the place going.
From Santa Fans.
From Santa Fans.
That's right.
That is correct.
Now, what about food and clothing?
Clothing is always needed, particularly at this time of year, and particularly warm winter clothing.
Socks,
gloves,
jackets.
Hats, scarves, jackets,
okay.
Boots.
Right.
Yeah, very much needed. And we always need personal hygiene supplies, those things you get in your motel room, the little bars of soap, the little shampoos,
yeah. The mini
disposable razors, that stuff. Because when people come in to the shelter, that's what we give them, for their showers and things like that.
Right. Yeah. I bet there's a lot of stuff that many of our listeners have 7 of. Combs,
Yeah, right.
And things like that they could just make a basket and bring it in.
And Whole Foods has been very generous this year. And they designated us as their grab and give. So we've been getting a pallet or two of food every week since the beginning of November.
How does that work?
So people are asked, I think at the checkout counter, if they would like to participate, and they can either buy a breakfast, a lunch, or a dinner, and then that money is put into ordering the food, and we pick it up every week. It's really wonderful.
So do you need volunteers? Are you looking for volunteers around the holidays, or...?
Well, usually we get lots of phone calls wanting to prepare food or do something on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we have plenty of people, usually a year in advance, people who want to do something on those two particular days. What we really need is all the other 363 days of the year.
For example, December 26th.
Yeah, yeah. And so... we have wonderful volunteers. We have church groups, civic groups, high school classes that come and help prepare meals for the men's shelter. We could use that help with the resource center, which is at the Old Pete's Pets location. It's the one stop for homeless services. We do a lunch on Tuesdays and Fridays there. We could certainly use help with all. I mean, there. It's not only that. It's if somebody has computer skills. I mean, we have lots of volunteer opportunities.
It's not just preparing the meals. We need people to check people in, to register people, to help them go. Because this resource center, it's not just our meals. There's healthcare for the homeless is there. There's counseling there. So it's just, you know, we also need people to help direct people. So you don't have to just be, if you don't like food, there's other things one could do there.
Okay.
Right. And all of our programs could use volunteers. We couldn't do it without volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, we're 365 days of the year. Every dinner at the men's shelter, most of the dinners at Casa Familia are provided by volunteers. I mean, and volunteers work at the desk. They volunteer staffing the front desk. I mean, the organization could not exist without volunteers. We're hard pressed enough to pay for the people we have working there.
Right,
we're out of pay for the volunteers who provide help for us as well.
Well, a shout out to the great volunteers that volunteer at St. Elizabeth's Shelter and all these other organizations that are associated with it. And if anybody is interested in volunteering, the number is 982-6611. Deborah Tang is Executive Director of St. Elizabeth's Shelter, and Jim Podesta is Director of Development there. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.